I am here with Marla Cannon Goodman. Welcome to Interstate Music.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Well, that was the most polite, the sweetest, the most polite way anybody's ever, like, we could just stop. That's the best podcast I've ever done in my life. It's over. So, Interstate Music, what do you think?
I absolutely love it. I want to live here. I want to sleep on the couch.
You want that orange couch bad. You can't carry that on the plane. That's too much luggage. So I have just absolutely loved the time that from the moment I met you to now, it was just like this kind of Bryce Long introducing me to you at Jolton Hardware out in Nashville. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I've known you for 30 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You are just an amazing person. And honestly, the more I've gotten to know you, the more I kind of just dive back into everything that you've done with your career and your songwriting. When did you, I mean, I know you come from a lineage of, you know, amazing, you know, producer, engineer, dad, songwriter, the whole thing. And you've probably gotten to know just so many unbelievable artists through your lifespan. But how long did you know during that time that, yeah, that's something I want to do, not something you felt you had to do?
Never. I mean, as a kid, I would go to my room. My sister is a background singer. She's a harmony singer. She's a great singer in her own right, but she's a harmony singer, and she learned to singing in the floor at our house with Vern Gosden and Dad. And they would trade parts off, and I'd be in my room trying to watch the Reds, and I'd be like, I wish they'd shut up. And now I wish I could go back for just a second and just listen again.
Just digest it. Enjoy it.
It was amazing. Every time they would sing, it was amazing. And but I tried to stay as far away from country as I could. I listened to Lionel Richie. I listened to Air Supply. I listened to Journey. Anything that I could do to get away from it. I mean, every record in our house was country.
Country music, right.
And so
telling me you were a little bit rebellious as a kid?
Just a hair. I can't imagine that. But I was in the bathroom one day fixing my hair for school, and I heard these voices coming out of the Ralph Emery show used to be on in the mornings. And I went in there to see who it was, and there was a duo on TV, and their names were the Soap Sisters.
Okay.
And they blew my mind that morning. They just blew my mind away, and it ended up being the Judds. And I was enamored with them. And so, you know, they were nobody at the time.
Right.
And that kind of tweaked my ear back to country, and I ended up going to a predominantly black college and marching in the band, and, you know, which was...
What'd you play?
I was the only girl. Clarinet. Red clarinet.
A red clarinet.
I'll show you a picture after we're done.
We'll post it.
It was great. I mean, some of the best fun I ever had. And it was all funk music. You know, they were a high-stepping show band like Florida A&M,
sure,
or Jackson State. Yep. And that's TSUs like that. And so I was doing that. And I was at a writer's night one night, or like a guitar pull thing. And one of the guys said, Marla, why don't you do anything in music? And my sister Melanie said, she writes poems. And I'd been writing poems ever since I was a kid. And he said, well, I'd like to read some of them. So I sent him a couple. And 2 days later, he called me back and said, hey, Maples, listen to this. And he sang me back the lyric. And I was like, man, I'd love to try to do that. And so I called one of our friends, Charlie Steffo, and I said, would you be willing to try to write a song with me? And he said, I'd love to. And so we sat down and we wrote our first song. And then the second guy I ever sat in a room with was a guy named Gene Ellsworth. And so I sat down and wrote a song with him. And the first time the three of us ever sat together, we wrote The Fool.
That is amazing. And how much do you think being a little rebellious about, you know, not going towards country and not being kind of magnetized to it helped you with your kind of vast music that you listen to that helped you become who you are as a songwriter?
I don't play guitar. I mean, I can play a little, but I don't play very well. And that gives me a little bit of an openness where I can play around with lyrics more because
forced into a chord.
No. And so, and I can write with pretty much anybody because my main strength is, lyrics. But sometimes, you know, I'll walk into a room and sing you, something that I've been singing all the way here.
Right.
And it's just a melody that Josh Martin, do you know Josh
Martin? Yeah, Josh, yeah.
So that song, Remember This Part, on the Woodbox Heroes?
Yep.
It was like I heard it, and I was like, we were on the plane, and he goes, what are you singing? And I said, I just got this idea for this song, and he said, what are you hearing? And I started singing it to him, and we wrote the chorus on the way to Crested Butte, and we ended up writing the rest of the song sitting outside, there. And it's just different. I hear things different than other people do, I guess.
And it just processes, and it turns into, now it turns into lyrics.
Yeah, and it helps me too, because I write with young people. So it
which
helps
is a huge reason why, like, I just, you know, loved you from the time I met you, fell deeply in love with you as a person when I started to realize how much you gravitate to the young songwriter as almost just wanting to be there for them, for their passion, and you really truly enjoy it, and you're, it's a big part of who you are, you've been lately. I mean, you're really going out there and working with young songwriters that, let's face it, a lot of established hit songwriters
don't give them time
don't do that. You know, so what's your reasoning behind it, other than just being Marla?
Well, I mean, it's like funny because a lot of them, Peyton Smith, I'd never seen him before. I didn't know him from Adam. Dad said, I got this kid I just heard, and I would like to see, you know, if you would write with him and see how he does. And he was 14. He was the first one that I actually just wrote with young.
Right.
And I was his very first co-writer. And I was just like, I just loved him so much because he was so green at it, and he just was loving everything he was doing, and there was no bitterness.
Right.
And it's so nice to go and sit in a room where nobody's bitter, and they're not mad at the world. And so, because for me, may not like every song on the radio, but I'm happy for everybody's successes. Because it's like, if they're getting successful, then there's a chance for every song I'm writing every time.
Right. And what are some of the, now you don't have to name names, but some of the co-writes that you've had in the rooms for whatever, what's one that just stands out that was just like either the greatest one or one that was just the most odd situation?
Well, you don't want to hear about the most odd one.
Right. Tell me about the one that you just walked out and you're like, that's it.
10 rounds.
It hit you that quick.
Yes. Me and Casey and Heaney laughed our heads off the whole time. I mean, we actually put the guy in a cab at the end of the song and sent him home, and we doing the safe thing so we wouldn't get blasted. And when we took it in and played it for our publishers, they were like, oh,
what
no.
What year was it that you wrote that song?
2000, maybe.
Yeah, okay. And back then, I mean, you write that song. I mean, it's a whole different world right now as far as what the lyrics are in songs and what was okay back then versus what's okay today, which is crazy in itself. But it sounds like that. Did you expect it to be a hit, or did you just love the song and thought it had something to it?
It made us happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is that song.
And it wasn't it's a novelty song, but it was well written. You know, we made sure, we went over every line and made sure that every line was right. And I mean, we literally laughed ourselves silly.
That's awesome.
And you know, it was supposed to be, we were writing it for Garth. We were in there actually trying to write a song for Garth, and it ended up, we sent it to him and he didn't answer the call.
Sure.
And Tracy Byrd was in the audience at the Bluebird and heard Casey sing it, and
that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Garth
awesome.
Called the day after Tracy cut it, won the song.
A little late.
Well, he's cut it. Garth's cut it twice. So and Tracy told him to back off. Because Tracy put out two different singles before that. He put out 10 Rounds. It was the third single.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's next? What are you looking forward to? What have you been working towards, you know, with right now in your career and where you want to go with it?
I love to get to write every day. I write for Carnival Music, and it's Frank is the best publisher to have. And our office just feels good inside.
Awesome.
And you go in there, we hang out in the kitchen in the mornings and everybody talks. Emily, Frank's assistant, has started Fritter Friday. She brings in apple fritters and has them sitting out for everybody.
I might be out back on
They're
Friday.
They're delicious.
One day.
They're from the donut den.
That's awesome. Shout out. So I just want to thank you for coming up and checking out what Interstate Music's all about. And honestly, from the time that we met, you've been such a huge support. You've become such a close friend and somebody that just cares about what we're doing.
Oh, it's amazing what you're doing. Is that? I mean, I think we're grow close to each other because of the... I wanted to help. I want to help kids.
Yeah.
That I know this is a hard business. It's so hard. And not one time did somebody say no to me. They didn't say no. When I called Dean Dillon, I said, would you write with an amateur? And he's like, who? I said, me. He said, anytime.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that's a tribute to just who you are as a person, the way you make people happy when you walk in the room.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure you piss a couple people off.
Not my husband.
yeah, I'm sure.
Gary would tell you different.
Every once in a while, you know, you got to have a day. But I want to thank you so much. This has been great getting to know you.
Thank you so much for letting me come up.
I can't wait for what's next.
All right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.